This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and me, Max Temkin. This week's challenge, teach our cat how to sit, and lick them with the licky brush.
Wait, we're in rare form this week. Like, Alex is sick. Like, I'm thinking about Overwatch. I don't know what's going on with Merlin. What's going on with Merlin? Why are we recording on Friday? What's happening? Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. I don't have my keys nearby. Do you want to play peekaboo a little
bit? Yeah. Isn't that great?
There she is.
It's so good.
Look at it. Where'd it go? Yes, you do. Who's a big girl?
I'm on codeine, so that. Oh, this is fun.
Have you ever really looked at your hand? Well, you guys seem a little bit low energy today.
Yeah.
I mean, sad.
Sad. Failing Vanity Fair, had very nice things to say at a time.
Did you read the review of the Trump Steakhouse as the worst restaurant in America?
I believe it's called Trump Grill or Trump Grilly, depending on the sign.
It was so funny. Oh, so funny.
The vodka martini takes the cake.
Yeah. Oh.
The vodka martini is served in like a Chablis glass.
With chipped ice cubes floating in.
It looks like somebody accidentally made part of a margarita and dropped an olive in and said, put this in the wine glass.
Well, okay, so I've been thinking about this a lot. Did either of you guys watch the OJ documentaries?
Yes.
Or not that there was the TV show and then the Made in America documentary.
So I did not watch the American Crime Story, the fictional one, but I watched the documentary series.
So I saw
both. I watched and really enjoyed both.
Yeah, I did too. So I watched both of those, and the American Crime Story one was interesting because I actually didn't know a lot of the information about OJ. Like, I was just slightly too young to have. I knew the broad strokes of the story, but like, there's so many weird. I mean, just every detail about that story is weirder than the next. Like, it's all that it was like the whole idea that the prosecutor changed her haircut and it was in the newspapers. I thought that I was watching that on TV and I was like, come on. I was like, that's not. They invented that for the TV show for dramatic, you know, sort of character storytelling purposes. And I went on Wikipedia and like, no, that really happened.
Oh, I mean, and just the. I guess this came through more in the documentary, but the documentary was so good at pulling up his. They both featured this, but his weird history with the police in general.
Yes,
like how cozy that relationship was, and how I guess the sort of breaks that he got.
Yes.
So that to me became one of the most interesting and thought-provoking parts.
So I loved the dramatized version because I just learned the facts of what happened, which I didn't know. I never knew any of that stuff. And then I watched the documentary second because the TV show kind of got me fascinated in OJ as just like almost like a lens of like looking at America at that time. And like,
yeah,
holy shit, the documentary, it going into a couple of different things, like the racial aspect, which was very well analyzed and very interesting, but also the angle of celebrity, which is probably the more contemporary and sort of relevant like thing to take away from the OJ case, which is American like institutions and American society has like a hole in its brain where when it comes to celebrity, where they like lose the capacity for critical and intelligent thought. And the standards do not seem to apply to celebrities as they apply to anyone else. And that's whether you like them or you hate them. It's like people just can't think critically, they can't think rationally. And the OJ trial, the way that the degree to which it became a sensation, the fact that it was televised, the performance of both sides of the prosecution and the defense.
And the judge.
Every fucking twist and turn of that trial was warped and corrupted and made stupid and engaging and grotesque and vulgar by the celebrity of O.J. Simpson, which, you know, obviously the documentary went to great lengths to sort of explain his level of celebrity, which is a hard thing to explain how famous someone is. But I truly did not understand how famous O.J. was before the trial. I mean, he was a big fucking deal
really?
Celebrity. I just didn't know. I mean, my only context of knowing O.J. Simpson is that the trial. So I didn't know he was famous for doing TV commercials where he ran through the airport. I didn't know anything about his sports career. I didn't know what he meant to black people. I didn't know what he meant to sort of upper society white people. I didn't know any of this stuff. I didn't understand the sort of complicated emotional layers that he takes up in the American psyche prior to this trial. And then, you know, I watched that drama and I was like, how did this happen? Like, why was it televised? Like, why did they put the glove on him? Like, why was everyone so dumb about, like, what, how and why? How did this become this, like, spectacle? And it's his celebrity. And I think, to bring this back to the Trump thing that we were talking about 3 hours ago, I think that's at the core of the Trump phenomenon, is that nobody could have gotten to where Trump is and done what he's done absent his weird celebrity. And it's not a celebrity like, you know, like John Travolta or like beloved
Tom
American
Cruise or Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, beloved American film icon Tom Hanks. The most popular actor in America.
Well, yes, I just read something the other day that just yesterday or maybe this morning that was saying, you know, that's the thing about Trump is that he's a very, very interesting character. It's just that happens to be a very malignant and corrosive character that's going to probably bury the nation. But he's a very interesting character. And one of the things I'm just paraphrasing this article, I can't remember, but they said one of the most interesting things about Trump is he's a character who like seems to understand TV. In some ways, he's made by TV,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the TV that he participates in or the TV that reports on him. But his whole phenomenon in the last 30-some years, a lot of it has to do with first newspapers and then TV. But the crazy part is he's terrible on TV. Like, he's not really empathetic. He's, you know, kind of transparently awful. And it isn't like somebody like a Berlusconi or a Mussolini or a Tom Hanks, like who actually has a way to understand the impact of what they're doing. You know what I mean? That's what also makes it so strange. It's so weird to keep watching the coverage of this guy who's very compelling to watch, but yeah.
If he was merely likable, he'd be like Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks could not become sort of a fascist dictator and seize a major political party with sort of like no ideology in common and lead them, you know, and like put himself in this position. Like, only Trump could have done that. And it's only Trump's particular kind of grotesque celebrity. And so part of that is that Trump is this clown and he doesn't mind being seen as this clown. That's part of, he's sort of in on the joke. And there's that whole thing in the Vanity Fair Restaurant Review of like, well, he's a rich guy, but he's like how poor people imagine themselves to be if they were rich. Where like, yes, they too would like a steak so overcooked that it rocks on the plate. And they too would like, you know, basically like Ruby Tuesday's like fast food, but with like an expensive ingredient sprinkled on top of it. You know, like this is how.
Yeah, it's like a gold-plated Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, I mean that's the level of quality of this restaurant, and it's like it's such a tacky like bourgeois like notion of what a fancy restaurant is, but he's like selling that idea. And I, you know, from the description of this Vanity Fair piece, like the restaurant is bustling, like they're doing really well and they're selling all this stuff and it's way overpriced and they're probably making money on it.
This falls into this same trap that we've been falling into since at least George W. Bush. And I'm not gonna beat the don't think of an elephant thing to death here, but okay, like for example, last night I had a couple drinks and decided that I was going to finally write up this little quick thing that I've been thinking about for a while. And this is only tangentially about Hamilton, so relax. But I had this way that I had started listening to Hamilton that felt like kind of an organic way to get through this very dense thing. And so I wrote this little thing up that says, hey, you know, start slow, listen to these few songs, then listen to a few more songs, et cetera, et cetera. And so I put this up, and a lot of people just liked it because it was about Hamilton. But, you know, and some people, I encouraged some people to want to listen to it. But then a funny thing happened, which is you get the well actuallys. Understandable. You get the well actuallys from people who say, well, no, I think what you should do is go in and listen to one more time, five times in a row. Or I think you should go do this. Or you should listen to it in, you know, backwards or something. However, the thing is, though, I wasn't trying to write something that would impress people who already like Hamilton. I was very pointedly trying to write something that would have an easy ramp in for somebody who is potentially interested in Hamilton but doesn't already like it, which takes a different frame of mind. Why am I saying this here? That review is funny, but it's more of the kind of like, ha-ha Donald Trump liberal porn that got us where we are now. I'm not against it. It's fun. It's amusing. But nobody who likes Donald Trump is going to read that and feel any worse about Donald Trump. It's just going to feel like another instance of beating up on the president-elect, the rightfully elected president-elect. That, so, I mean, that's the thread that keeps getting lost, is if people want to tell stories about what's problematic about Donald Trump, you know, they can't beat up on the part of him that they people actually like. Like, people go to, like, Indian casinos and eat $4 prime rib and think it's great. And, like, we can beat up on that, but that just makes them feel defensive about what they like. And you're not getting to the core of what's fucked up about that guy when you take those easy targets. So as a piece of, like, persuasive political ha-ha, I just didn't think it, you know, it's amusing, but I don't think that's effective at getting at what actually needs to be said.
Well, so I very much agree with this, with the idea of, like, the Trump's buffoonery, the grotesquerie, the celebrity, his falseness, that is his appeal. And it's an easy thing to make fun of and say, oh, like, what a piece of shit. He's like this, like, lazy idiot with, like, bad taste who, like, you know, like, inherited all this money and, like sort of, like, stumbled, like made a bunch of horrible business decisions. But because when you're rich, you, like, make more money, and that's just what happens by, like, a law of nature. Like, now he lives in, like a golden golf course. Like, that stuff is all easy to make fun of. But and it's also his appeal, because when people feel that the system itself is false and corrupt, Trump comes in with it as the clown that's on your side, and he's this, like, wrecking ball, and he's like, well, nothing's faker than me, like, I'll expose the falseness of this system.
right, believe me, I know fake. Nobody knows fake better than me. Follow up.
Oh, I put follow up in.
Alex, we have some follow up this week before we get started with our main course.
Has someone tried unplugging 2016 and plugging it back in again?
Come on, 2016. Stop being a series of events that happened over an arbitrary period of time. Jeez, 2016. Fuck cancer. Okay, will do.
Don't normalize this.
Don't normalize it, Alex. Are you normalizing it?
I wasn't on Twitter for like 48 hours, and it was so great. I came back and like, all right, this sure is a thing.
Guys, it's time for some game theory.
Oh, here's me at the beginning of 2016 and me at the end of 2016. I'm so sad I took two images and put them next to each other. Come on, 2016. When are you going to stop putting cancer on my images? Oh, Prince.
Oh, Christ.
Follow up. We got some, I feel like we got some really nice feedback. A lot of it I was getting kind of offline from fellow nerds, but for our challenge where we had to vlog, I feel like we got some nice responses from people.
A couple of people offline and one person online are genuinely concerned I have pica. I really don't have pica.
Oh, come on. This is why you shouldn't put things on the internet.
Yeah, no.
No. You like that. You choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Corn is great. How about you, Max?
What about pica? I don't think I have it.
Do you like to eat, Max?
I do. I love to eat. I love to eat. I would be in such good shape if I didn't like to eat as much and I loved exercise. Mm. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
We did a company trip to Disney World this year, and I have not been to Disney World. I mean, I was very, very young when I went to Disney World, so I don't really have almost any memories of it. And, let's see, what did I learn? I learned that I hate rides, but before I learned that, and I was still trying to go on a lot of rides, I went on the ride Splash Mountain. Are you guys familiar with the ride Splash Mountain?
Of course.
Yeah, big fan.
Do you guys know what movie that ride is from?
Yeah.
The mystery of Splash Mountain.
Because all it's,
no, wait, I do know. No, it's Song of the South.
It is, and it's so weird. It's like when you come off the ride, all they have, they're selling all this apparel with the characters, but it just says Splash Mountain on it.
Right.
I found
where's Uncle Remus?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
It's like going to a ride about roots, and like getting a stuffed Kunta Kinte or something.
Yeah, but it's just like a log flume ride.
Right. It's like they're like, hey, what we need something animatronic in this thing. What are we not using?
What a weird fucking corporate like maneuver that they've done, that they have a Song of the South ride.
The movie, they have gone out of their way to do everything but expunge from the canon of Disney. I don't think you can get a copy. They don't like to talk about it.
Yeah, you can't even find it on like YouTube. Like it's just, but so much Disney culture comes from Song of the South because mm-hmm. Disney is so racist in its bones. I mean, that's American folklore in general is just sort of racist stories that justified slavery and Jim Crow. And that's all what Disney is about. And like you're going through this ride and there's these like caricatures of these foxes like stealing a pie off a window and like wearing their like rags and singing zippity doo-dah, but you're like, yeah, it's just a story about a fox and a bear and their friends.
Oh. My oh my, what a wonderful day.
It's so surreal. It's so weird.
The challenge this week. Okay.
We're not going to talk about the Osmo Mobile?
I like the Osmo Mobile.
We don't have to. You know what? Let's skip it.
I think I need to keep buying more models of this. I don't think I found the one that's right for me.
All right. Challenge.
Digga, digga, digga. Is Max, I don't want Alex to hear this. Is she tripping balls right now?
Oh, no, absolutely. Alex is she's feeling the walls and
she chasing the dragon.
Pupils are all dilated. Alex, do you like a painkiller?
No, I'm my palms are literally like sweating and I mean at peak painkiller after I've had
so the... it's like so maybe the problem is I haven't had enough.
Yeah,
you're saying maybe the issue is that I haven't sort of hit the right amount, which is a lot.
Yeah, they put a limit on the morphine drip. You just gotta, there's a code you have to override. So just go to the top.
Do you have one of those IVs on wheels?
No. I did have one at one point and didn't really understand I thought that you had to put... Remember how you were talking about clever and smart, Merlin?
Yeah, right. Which one are you here?
Yeah, and I just thought, like, oh, to keep it going. It was like an inflatable mattress. To keep it going, you had to just keep pushing up.
They should really explain those things better.
Okay.
You know, let me ask you a question. Now how, what's the difference between, like, a painkiller? Like, some people, this is an honest question. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the things like Vicodin, and you get things, now Vicodin, or you get, like, Tylenol 3. Now, those are, like, opioids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, an oxycondone kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know what Tylenol 3 is.
I think that's just Tylenol with codeine. But, like, how's that different from, like, a Klonopin, or in the old days, like, a Valium?
It's,
like,
oh,
one is just
a
relaxer?
Yeah, so those are all benzodiazepines, and they're used, usually for more chronic stuff, and they're also used to prevent seizures and stop your throat from closing up from anxiety. And
I feel like if I took one of those, I'd get like panicky.
That's
real. You have no idea how the force of will that I have though. I could overcome one of those to feel bad while I'm on it.
I think that would be a thing. We just have to keep on. You would need the IV drip, and I feel like it would be like weed for you. You would just get too panicky.
Here's a story about how much I don't like taking drugs for things. So a couple of years ago, I had to get my wisdom teeth out. And they all had to go.
Oh, is this back to the anesthesia kind of?
Yes, very much so. It's so
not to trigger you, but this is kind of you have a general, like John Roderick does not want to be buried alive. Max does not want to go under.
I do not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I there's not any rational reason for the fear. Like it's not a rational fear. It's an irrational fear. Like I'm scared of it not really for any good reason. I just find myself extremely scared of it. I don't know why. It's just how it is. And I wish it wasn't that way. But so I had a couple years ago, I had to get my wisdom teeth out. And I had all four wisdom teeth were impacted. It was a bad situation. They all had to go. It was a fairly, you know, substantial procedure. They get in there and they cut you all up and they pull these things out. So basically, I have the pre-consultation with the oral surgeon. And the guy says, well, he says, you can do the laughing gas, which some people opt to do, and that will sort of sedate you while we're doing this procedure. Or you can have the IV drip, and that will, the Twilight is what they call it, and that will sort of put you out. And this is what most people choose to do in this day and age. And then, you know, you sort of come to in the room, and it's all done, and you have no memory of it. And I was like, I will contemplate those options. And in my head, I was going, neither of these are acceptable. Like, it's like, would you rather cut off your left arm or your right arm? It's like, these are not two choices that are acceptable to me. So I go home and I start Googling all the ways you can die from both of these, like anesthetics. And people's, you know, phobias and all the different things. And, like, I convinced myself I somehow, like, made it even worse by, like, acquiring too much information about it. And I couldn't decide. I was paralyzed. And they, you know, I was supposed to pick, basically, before I got there so they could get it ready. And I couldn't pick. I couldn't pick. I couldn't pick. And so we're driving there. My dad drove me because you can't drive yourself when you're getting the thing. My dad's driving me there. And he's like, well, which one are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll decide when I'm there. And I get up to the front counter and I'm talking to the nurse or whatever. And she's like, well, you got to pick. We got to set one of them up. And I was like, I cannot decide between the two of these. Neither of them are acceptable. And she goes, you could always have no sedative, sort of laughing. And I was like, is that? And I was like, let's do that. Is that an option? Let's do that. And she's like, well, it's an option. She's like, a few times, like, we have seen people do this, but it's usually for, like, economic purposes because it's expensive to get the sedative. And, you know, if you're not insured or whatever, it's a way to save some money. So I was like, let's do it. I'm doing it. Let's go. And that was what I did. So basically they gave me the shot of Novocaine, and the guy went, the mouth went open with all the hardware, and he went in there and cut it up. And I was like, explain what we're doing. Like, as we go, he's like, okay, now I'm going to grab this, the drill, and we're going to drill in here and cut this flap open and pull the stuff out. And I was perfectly lucid. I was there the whole time. I was like, it was great. Cause like, if something went wrong, I would be like, all right, let's make a plan. Like, I would have jumped in.
I don't know.
So I was perfectly there. I was like nodding my head. I was very interested in the procedure. And then when it was done, it was way preferable to the laughing gas or the Twilight, in my opinion. And when I was done, I went right home. Didn't have any sedatives, so I was fine to go. And they gave me a prescription for painkillers, which I did not fill. I took like 2 ibuprofen, an ice pack, and I was back on my feet the next day.
What's going to happen if you? I'm trying to think of, like, let's say you have like, what's a gross surgery that you need to be definitely under for, but minor, hernia or something,
a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah. Like, are you just going to be like, oh, no, I want to be awake. Just numb me and put me in a bath so that I can relax enough.
Did you ever see the story about the surgeon in Antarctica who had to have his appendix removed? So he operated on himself with a mirror.
Isn't that a House episode?
It's... And Lost. A lot of places have done it.
Did a Martian.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just saying I like to, I like to help out if something goes wrong.
I have a new theory that you're like the kind of masochist that like gets the endorphin. Like you had so many endorphins while this was happening that it just kind of you were sort of so blinded by pain that it was like, oh, cool. Or adrenaline, even, because you were so ready to help out if something went wrong.
You know what it was like? It was like I went on CNN this year, and before I went, I was like, I was pretty nervous about that because like that's a big audience, and like, you know, it's like you really don't want to fuck up on CNN. Like, I don't know. It's like felt weird. Like, I've done some media and stuff before, but this it felt really different, and
that's like two orders of magnitude. I mean, that's it, really different.
It feels different somehow. It feels real. And you know, I went on CNN, and I don't know. I just pulled it together. I was so nervous. I was like, you know, my mouth was all dry. Like I was like futzing with my suit, and like I just like. And then you know what? The camera turned on. The host came on the little earpiece, and like. I got it. I got my shit together, and it was like 2 seconds. You know, I did like whatever it was, my 10-minute segment, and like it felt like 2 seconds went by. It was like pow.
I totally believe this, and this just to kind of piggyback on what I was talking about. You know, when we were talking about things like you know anxiety and dopamine and stuff like that. I mean, this is a hallmark of anxiety-related things. Is that, you know, anxiety is this unease. So you got anxiety, you got worry, you got fear. And, you know, anxiety could be this very physical thing about uncertainty. Worry becomes the ruminative thinking about it. Fear, usually we think of as something that's a clear and present danger. But the truth is, in a lot of situations, you could have years of anxiety about something that's going to take 1 second to get done. And once it's time for that 1 second, you can feel like really oddly centered. It can be the kind of a relief. Go, hey, you know what? I'm awake for my hysterectomy. Let's do this thing. And like, I don't know if it's endorphins or what it is, but I think that's one of the weird afflictions of people with anxiety is that you will eventually get a lot of focus because it's a break. The catastrophe happening is a break from the anxiety that led up to it.
Well, nothing could be worse than torturing yourself beforehand.
I have another recommendation for you. I haven't read the whole book. I read some of the book, but there's this book called My Age of Anxiety by this guy named Scott Stossel. And I would just say go listen. I put it in the show notes. If you go listen to this episode of Fresh Air that he was on in 2014, can I tell you about this real quick?
Yes.
He...
Ooh, is this the guy who won't throw up?
Right.
Oh! Tell me the whole story. I don't know this.
So here's the thing. This guy, basically every waking minute of his life, he's overrun. He's racked with 100% total constant anxiety about everything related to the fact that he might throw up. It's called emetophobia. He has an extreme, he knows it's not rational, but he has like an extreme fear of vomiting. And that's every waking minute of his life. He's tried all these different treatments. And the punchline, I think he hasn't thrown up since something like the early 80s.
Wow.
And all that time, he's never thrown up. But that fear is with him every minute of the day. And he knows it's irrational, but it's like it's still there. And it's such a fascinating story. And to hear his journey with that.
Spoiler alert, there's a scene in here that I don't remember this super well, but there's one scene that sticks in my memory where he is in therapy trying to get rid of this, you know, really crippling anxiety that affects every aspect of his life of he's scared of throwing up. And
they do like aversion therapy, right?
Exactly. And the therapist is like, you know, he makes all this progress over years of therapy. And the therapist is like, you know what? I think you're ready to try throwing up in a controlled environment and experience it. And thus sort of through like exposure therapy, decrease your anxiety. So he takes a...
Ipecac,
right. And they're in this bathroom of the, I think, of the like psychiatrist's office or a doctor's office or something, right? And Ipecac is this thing that you take that's like if a kid eats like an inkwell, if they drink like a whole inkwell, you can give them the Ipecac and they'll throw it up. And it basically forces you to throw up.
It isn't like a little bit of finger on your throat. This will force your body to vomit. That's what Ipecac does. This equals throw up. If you take this, you will throw up. That is what this is for, and it always works.
So he takes this drug, and he's on his knees in front of the toilet, and he won't throw up. And he's heaving and writhing, and he will not let himself throw up. And so I think at one point, aren't they like, maybe you need to take some more? And he takes some more. And this is like a medical professional. It's like, I have literally never observed this in my medical. It's like
it would be like giving you a fistful of sleeping pills and like you refuse to fall asleep. You'd be like, that's impossible. And you go, I know, but I'm not going to fall asleep.
So that is literally the scene that I was thinking about in my head when Alex was saying you take these enough Klonopin or whatever and you like can't have an anxiety attack. Like, oh, I'll find a way. Like, like I'll get it done. I'll get in there.
So
do you guys look at your cats?
All right. right.
Alex, we're back. And this week, you were the one who was going to bring us our challenge. What was our challenge for this week?
Well, the challenge this week was sort of twofold. I said that you had to teach your cat to sit and provide proof, which no one did, and also use the Licky Brush, which the really nice people at Portland Pet Design sent us.
So nice.
And they were so, so nice, and without without hesitation, we're like, oh, yeah, we'll send some over. So we got these brushes that look like cat tongues that you put in your mouth, your human mouth, and then you brush your cat as if you were licking them.
Can I read from the Licky Brush packaging, the product description materials? It says, cats groom each other as a form of social bonding. There's also evidence to suggest that cats think their human captors are large cats. Yet as a human, you're left out of their intimate licking ritual. At best, you have a one-sided licking relationship with your cat. With Licky Brush, you don't have to be left out anymore. By using Licky with your cat on a regular basis, you'll develop a more intimate and bonded relationship, much like a mama cat bonds with her young. Instructions for use. Gently grasp Licky's bite portion with your teeth. Slowly approach your cat when she is sleeping or in an otherwise pleasant mood, and ease into the soothing and mutually beneficial licking behavior of cats. Don't be surprised if your cat licks you back. Did you guys have a special...
For a week now, I've been staring at this animated GIF that you put in here, Alex, of this Macklemore-looking motherfucker licking the shit out of his cat with the Licky Brush. And he doesn't look like... This is not the first time that he has done this. This looks like... I mean, it's like watching two bears make out. This guy is really into licking his cat with the Licky Brush.
I'm gonna...
Look at him go. Look at him.
Oh, I'm about to send the both of you a GIF, which I guess I'm going to put on the internet. I use the Licky Brush, and it's something.
It does say in the warnings here, I'm just reading the fine print, and it does say, do not use Licky Brush on feral or undomesticated animals.
Oh.
That's smart. That's smart.
It's good advice.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there, should I watch this video, Merlin?
No.
Okay.
You want to know how it went? Oh, Alex. Oh, look at you. Look at you looking at your cat. Oh, God.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
This looks like kind of a thing.
But
you're also playing. Are we talking about the Licky Brush now, or are we going to talk about the train? What are we doing here? Are we talking about the Licky Brush?
Let's just get the Licky Brush bit over with.
But so Alex has sent me an animated GIF of her licking her cat with the Licky Brush.
That's pretty funny.
And
it's really upsetting.
Yeah, one thing you got to point out is, like, in order to lick your cat with the Licky Brush, you got to really move your whole head. So it isn't something where you can make kind of slight... You have to make gross gestures with your entire head. Like, imagine me going... imagine me like... Meh! Meh! You got to... But it also points out, I mean, with all respect to the Licky Brush family... It's also that to use this thing, you have to hold your cat in a weird way, or you're brushing against the grain.
Yep.
I kept running into this.
My Mel is sitting on the couch filming me with my trusty DJ Osmo, and she's just like, "Am I filming porn? What is happening?" In all fairness, once you take the brush out of your mouth, it's a very good brush. My cat enjoyed that part. He's just like,
but
what
I mean, it's kind of
happening?
Like porn. But if there was very specific porn somebody wanted of a young girl who has the composure of someone while they're taking the SAT while acting like they're cleaning a violin with their mouth. You look really smart.
I don't know. It looks a little clever. Have you listened to the new Reconcilable Differences, Max?
No.
Okay.
Max, it's only 3 hours.
Yeah.
Is it about robot ladies? No. Is this the robot ladies episode?
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to reveal any identity here. Which cat is this?
This is Francis.
Frances. And the other one's named after a video game, right?
She is named after the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Hi.
So did you actually do it, Merlin? Did you use...
Hell yeah.
How'd that go? Because your cat is a little... Like my both of my cats, one acts like a normal cat, the other acts like an idiot puppy, which is the one I subjected to the licky brush. Did she? But your cat is very dainty. How did she like it,
Merlin? Your cat looks like a snack.
It is
looks
she
like
alive?
A, it looks like a, almost like a food product of like
she weighs 6 pounds.
It's a
soaking
perfectly
wet.
Spherical sort of animal.
Well, right now she looks like maybe Appa, from Avatar: The Last Airbender. She's very broad. On Sunday, the cat groomy lady is going to come out and shave the shit out of her. So I'll do a before and after for you. But no, so here, I mean, this is, I'll get into this a little bit more when we get to the primary challenge, for this week, but my cat doesn't like things. She doesn't like us. and while she does enjoy being petted, she's very cat-like in the sense that she's very vigilant, like hyper-vigilant. She was bullied. Like, that's why we got her, is because she was basically traumatized by being bullied by other cats. So she's very vigilant. She's always going from room to room, making sure everything's okay. And she really wants any affection to be on her own terms. And so sometimes she's really into it, but she has to lead it. And but yeah, sure, I put this in my mouth and use it on my cat. I mean, again, with all respect to the Licky Brush family, I found it a little challenging to use because the cat wants to be petted in a certain way, and it became a little bit acrobatic. And I think she felt maybe a little bit like something weird was going on because of the way she had to be placed, held, and manipulated in order for me to act like I was licking her. And it was challenging for both of us, and she was game for a little while. But then, like you, I took it out and used it like a regular brush, and she was a little more into it.
Max, did you even open yours?
I did. I tried to lick my cat. She ranged from being sort of scared of, you know, my cat is not novelty seeking. Like, she's kind of a very she has a little bit of the vigilance thing, which I think also comes from being bullied by the other cats at the rescue when I got her. So I think that's part of it. But she's sort of like not a very curious animal. Like, she's not she does not like new things. She doesn't like change. She likes like routine. She likes being relaxed. So it was like she does not like a new toy. Like, it took a while for me to just like acclimate her to this new toy. And then the only time I could really get in there and do some licking was when she was like very sleepy and relaxed. And then she just sort of didn't care. She was just like, I guess this is a thing that's happening to me right now. Like, I'm not going to move because I'm warm, but I, you know, in any other circumstance, like, I'd be out of here.
Well, let me ask a general question because, you know, it seems like all cats are pretty weird, and they're weird in their own ways. It's a lot like Anna Karenina. But, like, what delight does your cat, like, for example, like treats? Like, is there, like, a special thing for your cat? Like, if your cat was in the house and you want to find it, or if you had to go outside, can you like make a can opener sound and it runs? Are there things you can offer your cat that will attract it?
Oh yeah. My one cat, Ness, it really enjoys carbs. So like, she can sense when French fries are in the house and it'll come very quickly if we call her then. My other cat, who is basically still a kitten, whenever we say his name and say come, he just runs over and assumes that something good is going to happen because he's an idiot. But
wow.
Yeah. but also she knows when something bad is going to happen. Like, we've done all this stuff. Like, we've left the carrier out for a week before she has to go to the vet so she doesn't freak out before then. And also, they also both have separation anxiety from me. So I'll leave my suitcase out before I'm going on a trip so they can sleep in it and be like, okay, maybe we get to go this time. So, yeah, they're very smart in this weird, like, I don't know, primal way.
But there's like they understand and respond to cues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where the whole, like, you can't train your cat thing came from. I mean, it's like, well, if they don't shit, if they shit in a if they shit in an appropriate area, why do we need to train them? I think that's kind of how it happened.
What about you, Max? Does your cat have joy in life?
She, my cat is, she will follow me from room to room. So she's very sort of clingy when I'm home, and she likes to like sit on my lap when I'm playing Overwatch. So that's probably like the main thing that motivates her, is just sort of like getting attention, getting to be with me. She is thoroughly unmotivated by food. She, I found after many sort of frantic months of research where she was like losing weight and not eating, I found one kind of food that she will eat, which is the wellness brand chicken mush that comes in a can. And she will not eat any, I have never seen her eat or enjoy another food. She won't eat a dry food. She won't eat a treat. I can't hand feed her a treat. I can't get her to eat a treat from her food dish. I've tried all manner of different treats and foods, and she is just very, very completely unmotivated by food. And that makes it very difficult for me to like train her, get her to do anything other than she just generally wants me to be happy with her. So like if she goes on a piece of furniture that she's not supposed to be on, I'll just sort of swat her off and say no. And then that is sometimes the last time she'll ever go on that piece of furniture. And, you know, if there's a place I do want her to hang out and I'm just willing to spend some time there and, like, pet her a lot, she'll learn that that's a good place to go. So that's how I've sort of accomplished any sort of, like, training with her. But she's a weirdo. I mean, I learned, like, fairly recently this year that, like, she had, like, you know, she was like a rescue. So she was, like, living on the streets and stuff. And she had very bad teeth. And I took her in, you know, I brought her into the vet for something else, like, a year ago. And the vet said to me, you got to get her teeth cleaned. And I was like thinking to myself, and I asked the vet, I was like, how do you do that? And they're like, it's a whole procedure. You have to book it. And they put the cat under and they get in there and they clean the teeth. And I was like, I'll get back to you on that. And I was thinking to myself, that's a scam. Like nobody cleans their cat's teeth.
I think you might have been the one that told me, but when I first heard what it cost to get a cat's teeth cleaned, I was agog.
I was like, I'm going to go online and do some research because it seems like I'm getting, you know, I don't want to get Bernie Madoff on my cat, you know? I don't want to get fucked. So I'm not going to get fucked. So I took I looked it up. It is actually a thing. You do need to get your cat's teeth cleaned. You could do it yourself, but, you know, well, let me say, one could do it themselves. I'm not going to do it. So I brought her into the vet, and she had, you know, the vet calls me, at, you know, a couple hours after I dropped her off, and they're like, listen, like, she's sedated. We're, like, in there, and these teeth are a disaster. They've all got to go. And they're like, she can keep like four teeth maybe.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I was like, should I like get a second opinion or like would someone else like counsel me differently or like, you know, whatever. And he was like, it's very obvious. Anyone looking at these teeth would say that they've got to go. They're in really bad condition. So she had most of her teeth removed. She had a very bumpy recovery. Like it almost at one point seemed like maybe she wouldn't make it, but she's all back to normal. And I think one thing that the vet said was she was probably before she had the teeth pulled, she was probably in a lot of pain in her mouth. And that might explain why she was such a picky eater and would only eat this one kind of wet food. But now it's even harder to get. Sometimes we open up the can of food, we put it there, and sometimes we have to pick her up and bring her to the food and sort of put her head in the food and stand there, sit there with her while she eats. Aww. Or else she'd rather sort of be with us than eat.
Yeah, we had the same thing. I think I mentioned this. We had the same thing with the teeth where, like, they said her teeth were really grody and it looked like they might be pretty bad. So she had to get two pulled because they were, like, rotting, like, down. We didn't know this. I mean, they gave us the cat. So, yep. So we had to do all of that. But she's still not super into it. But my cat has never – she eats a lot. She finally, now that she's healthy and happy in the house, she eats a lot of food. But that's when things are going well. Like when we first got her, almost 2 weeks before she ate. The incident where she got trapped in the closet, after that, she barely ate for a long time. But it takes her a while. I think she is hypervigilant. I mean, so many of the same things y'all are talking about. But like, yeah, I think she just mainly wants to be left alone. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I'm used to, like, I'm a dog person, I think. My wife's a dog person. We're used to having ding-a-ling dogs. And dogs are dum-dums. They're really easy to get along with, and you can make them eat peanut butter, and it's hilarious. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with a dog, and a cat's just not going to have it.
Maybe it's the personality thing where my cats are just freaks because I am. Well, I mean, my one cat came with my wife. So, I mean, she's weird because my wife's weird. But, God, I thought I was a dog person until I had the wife with the cat. Because there was this one cat that I was in my family for literally 21 years. It was older than me, and it was just a horrible, ridiculous monster. and now I'm just like the frickin', I'm such a fucking weirdo, and I love. I don't know. You guys have normal, boring cats. I shouldn't say that. Now I feel bad.
My cat is a precious angel. She's very special.
Yeah. Max's cat is like actually perfect. Like you would not expect that this was a shelter cat that was like living the hard knock life on the street. Like
she likes a belly rub.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. My cats love the belly rubs, which is
what?
Right? It's really weird. That's a weird thing.
My cat will come up to you and look at you tentatively and then sort of flop over on her belly with her little paws up in the air and then sort of look at you until you rub her belly, and then she'll just close her eyes and start purring.
Wow.
She loves a belly rub.
That's a I'm going to admit something strange about myself. There's a show, it's gone now, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but there was this show that was on public radio. I was listening to this probably 20 years ago, called Calling All Pets. And people would call in with their pet questions for this pet behavior person. And like every episode was so interesting because there would always be something that was like, I don't understand. My cat keeps peeing on the couch and I yell at it and it keeps peeing on the couch. And the woman who's on the show was fantastic. She would explain, well, cats do that when they feel threatened, like has anything changed in their environment? But I love the fact that you could walk through the psychology of an animal. And the psychology of every animal is not the same. A mule is not a dog, is not a cat. And I think that's such an interesting idea. And actually, Alex, something you sent here, this is an episode of Fresh Air, and again with the Fresh Air, an episode I did hear when it was on, with this woman who's co-written a book on training cats. But there's one thing she says, there's lots of really interesting stuff. This will be in show notes. This is one super interesting thing that she said that helps me understand cats so much better. A primary attachment for a dog is generally its owner. And so by an attachment bond, think of it like a mother and child. A child to be around its mother creates a feeling of safety and security, et cetera, et cetera. For the cat, that security does not necessarily come from a person or an animal. It comes from a physical place. Cats are very, very territorial in animals, and they create safety by getting to know a physical place very well and by marking that place with their scent. I thought that was – I mean, I guess it's obvious in some ways, but that explains so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a lot of popular cat psychology things, including this sort of popular theory right now that cats think people are just big cats. And I'm always a little skeptical of the scholarship that
– I'd like to see some math on that one.
Yeah. These are all things that it's like some psychologist like published a paper, but I'm always a little bit curious, like what's the scholarship of this? Because like, what'd you figure it out? Did you survey a bunch of cats? Like,
yeah, I'm imagining, you know,
how would you falsify that? Like, I just don't understand some of this research.
I've had extensive interviews with many of the felines, and we were able to ask them very clear questions. When you see this person in the house, do you think it is a VCR? Do you think it is a spatula? Do you think it is another large cat? And then really, in many of the cases, they seem to agree it was a large cat.
If I was, if I knew I was like the smartest person in the world about cats, I would totally make something like this up. And you're right, you can't, like, no cat is going to be like, oh no, I understand that this is a human.
You should start, you know what, this is popular. You can make money on Facebook. You should hire a kid in Macedonia to make you a website of fake cat news.
Mm-hmm.
We could have all kinds of fake turns out information about cats. People would love that.
So this year, my parents got Veronica and I a bird feeder. This is like a big thing in their life is the bird feeder. And you know, my dad likes to yell at the squirrels that come to the bird feeder, and my mom likes to look up the birds. And so they got us the bird feeder so we could share in the joy. But also, like, I was pretty excited because I figured, you know, our cat loves bird shit. Like, she loves videos of birds and bird toys. Like, she's definitely a bird. She has some sort of cat DNA that comes from cats that hunted birds. And so we got this bird feeder in, And for like the first day the birds were there, she sort of didn't notice. And then once she figured out that they were there, she went insane. Like she became obsessed. She would hide behind the counter and like look out, sit in front of this window like all day, just transfixed, like breathing slowly with her pupils dilated, not moving a muscle, and then just sort of lightly drooling as she like stared out the window, like locked on. And there could be like scare, like really genuinely frightening things happening in the house, like the dishwasher turning on, and she wouldn't even flinch. So we kind of let the bird seeder lapse. Like it ran out of bird seed and we didn't refill it because we were like, I think maybe the cat needs some time off from the bird feeder. But it was like the Samizdat from Infinite Jest. It was a little scary. And one of the things we were thinking a lot about as we were like watching her just go bonkers in front of this window was like, what is she thinking? Is she thinks that she's going to get one of those birds and she's sort of locked into like a hunting cycle? Or is it a threat? Because there were a lot of birds. So maybe she's like vaguely threatened and it's like a protective thing. Or I don't know. I bet it's
a little like watching pro wrestling. I mean, like there's not an immediate danger to her, but it gets her cat adrenaline up.
Maybe it's like how I watch Top Chef, where it's just like, well, I got to pass the time some way.
But it, you know, there is so the other question I was going to ask is like toys and stuff, because we bought her a cat condo, not interested, like all this dumb stuff. And my daughter will see something and go, oh, look, it's a Chewbacca cat toy. Of course, we got to get that. And like she's just not interested. What she is interested in is the laser pointer sometimes. And then sometimes she just amuses herself by running around and chasing things and running from things that aren't there. But she doesn't play with toys. She doesn't like toys. Every time we take out the iPad cat games Alex told me about, my daughter ends up playing with them.
My cats fucking love toys. I think the older cat wasn't as into them until her little brother was like, squishy things. And I think it was like, oh, well, if he gets to play with them, I get him too. She also wasn't a box cat until he became a box cat. And it was like, oh, I get it now. But yeah, they very much enjoy their iPad games. They're very big too into watching video games, especially Alto's Adventure. That's a new favorite.
Wow.
Yeah. They're weirdos. Also big on the catnip. Max is very good at picking out artisanal catnip toys that they just love.
What have I given them?
A couple of those like a little fortune cookie ones.
Yeah, those are so good.
And we stopped on the way. We were driving. Remember when we stopped in Madison, like on the way home from a convention, and there was this artisanal cat store, and I bought like all of this supposedly natural catnip and catnip spray, which I was really like. I know it's like with humans, like you, like cats can't overdose on catnip the way like humans can't overdose on weed. But for a while, they were just
That I've heard that's a myth. The DEA says that's a myth. It's very dangerous. You gotta be very careful not to overdose on weed.
I sprayed it on everything, and they were just kind of in a coma for 2 days. But yeah. I imagine Max's cat Janeway just having the most sophisticated toys. And does she ever get like embarrassed if she does something like, I don't know, that like lacks what would be considered cat grace? Like one of my cats gets embarrassed if she like stumbles or something.
Yeah, my cat is very so she has, first of all, zero interest in catnip. Doesn't notice it's there. Doesn't respond to it. Doesn't play with it. Not interested at all. She likes string and like bird toys are sort of her big things, and she will go crazy. So especially during the crazy hour, she'll sometimes go nuts playing with toys. And she has so furry. Her paws are all just like covered in fur, and she gets no traction on the wooden floors. And she goes skidding around the house like a moron, just crashing into things and chasing the mouse. And then if you walk into the room, she'll like freeze and like look it up at you like, we're cool. Like everything's cool. Like, so she gets a little bit of that embarrassment. Yeah.
We've got, you know, one of those neighbors with the dog that never shuts up. And now with my 15-pound cat who runs around at 5 a.m. every morning, I'm like, and it's really bad. I know that we could train him to be like, okay, shut up. but he does his like morning laps, and it's the same thing. We don't have like any sort of rugs or carpeting in my apartment, and we are not getting our security deposit back on our wood floor. But yeah, he's just a big idiot. I realize now I'm just super high, and I took my cough medicine when I got to work, and I am not driving home. Anyway, Merlin,
you seem fine.
I'm so tired.
I bet you can drive. You'll be fine.
No.
Go drive.
Oh no, there's snow happening in Chicago. I heard it was.
Oh, that's right. It's super cold. It's Chicagolopolis.
No.
Apocalypse.
Everyone's like, oh, Chicago's so cold, and it's the same thing every year, and it's the same amount of snow every year, and it's what people talk about because that's what they know about Chicago. Remember 1972? When I don't know when the storm
Alex,
was.
Have you ever really listened to The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway?
I don't know.
I mean,
that
really,
reference.
Like, really, really listen to
I
it.
I don't know what that is.
What? Now here's a cat fact that I learned from calling all pets a long time ago, and I know this is obvious, but I thought this was interesting. You're talking about being able to pet your cat's belly,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, I've heard that. That is a very interesting. Like, how about this? This used to happen with my cat number one that I had a long time ago, where like the cat gets super, super relaxed and you're petting it in exactly the way that it likes and everything is copacetic, and suddenly out of nowhere it bites you or it scratches you.
Yeah. I mean, that was my experience with the cat that I knew as a kid. But no, I've never had that.
I've heard that's because you've like, on the one hand, you're making it happy because if a cat likes being petted, you know, it likes being petted, but then it goes into this mode of maybe too much relaxation and suddenly like instinct kicks in. And it, especially if you're rubbing its belly, it realizes that's a very vulnerable place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually if the cat's belly is exposed, it's being attacked mm-hmm. normally. Mm-hmm. And like something, I don't know, something evolution, the cat just snaps out of it. And that's why it kind of unconsciously, or like it doesn't even know what it's doing. It's just reacting on pure instinct when it like takes a slash at you. I thought that was really interesting. Hmm. Yeah. Anyway, cat facts.
Does your cat have a favorite?
A place to be petted upon?
No.
Oh, Radiohead album.
yes.
Oh, you know, probably either Nursery Crime or maybe Foxtrot. She likes the second half of Foxtrot.
Is the cat like your daughter's, or is it a familial cat?
Our mm-hmm. cat? It's a familial cat, but she likes each one of us approximately half as much as the other. She likes my wife far and away the best. And she likes me half as much as my wife. And it breaks my daughter's heart that she's just not super into my daughter.
Aww.
I think probably because she thinks she's a nearer sized cat to her is the science.
What about you, Max?
Oh, my cat likes me.
Yeah.
yeah. Should you dress as a cat when you lick it? Do you think that helps?
Oh, you guys weren't?
How do we do with the training, everybody?
Yeah, my cats already know how to sit. So
do they really?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I sent you a video.
Oh, where is
of,
this?
It's I can pull it up.
I don't believe this.
I threw a paper towel. He enjoys, like most cats, destroying paper products, and threw a paper towel down, and then instead.
my optical cable.
Boy. Well, come on. That's just coincidence. He just walked up to you and he just happened to sit,
okay,
and then you're like, good boy.
No, no.
Francis, sit. Good boy.
No, he doesn't know what's going on.
All right, I have more evidence of this. Hold on.
Not a controlled test.
That's okay.
No.
Could do that. I could walk behind my cat and say sit until she sat down, and then say good kitty.
No,
it's like a cheat. It's a cheap magic trick.
Oh man. Well, did you have
you know
any
what I
success
like is,
in this
you know what I like is when people are trying to get their dog to do tricks, and they have a bunch of treats, and the dog gets so excited to get the treats that it starts. It sort of short circuits and it sort of cycles through every trick it knows.
Yeah.
All
it tries
once.
Everything.
Yeah. Just like, please give me the treat. I'll do anything.
You haven't lived until you've watched a really dumb dog try to sit, stay, and roll over at the same time. You can just see its wiring going all wrong. If you want Alex, you can watch my my video from this morning that I sent you. You probably have to crank the volume up a little bit.
Cranky, sit. Good boy.
See? I'm way behind him. He doesn't, he's not even looking at me.
I don't know. But he's sitting in front of Mel. But Mel's there with the camera, and he's mulling around and then eventually sits down the fifth time that you said sit.
But that's because he, okay, no, it was one time, and the paper towel was like the, because he, if you put a paper towel on the floor, it will be instantly shredded unless we were like, sit. But also we need to get him to sit, otherwise he will eat our phones. He likes he likes phone cases a lot.
I'm a sit skeptic. jury's still out. A lot of scientists say that it's more complicated, and we don't know what causes cats sitting.
And then you got pee hacking.
There's evidence on both sides.
There's I didn't know this, but.
I've heard there's global cooling. I mean, it could go. It could be anything.
Do you know how cool it is today where we are?
31
degrees. There's
no
way that things are getting warmer. Alex, are you able to open mine up and crank up the volume?
Let me try to do that in here. All right.
You guys are trying so hard, and the cat's just standing there looking around. Why is everyone being weird?
Okay. Well, did you try the methods of like, you know, you put the treat above her head and then she's looking at the treat and eventually her butt sits down and then you give her the treat?
Did I mention my cat doesn't like things? God, this is so easy for you. You're like one of those people that has like a perfect kid. And you go out to eat, and you look around and go, gosh, oh, that child really, I wish their parents. It's like, you know, you just got lucky. You're lucky. You're a lucky cat owner, and you're looking down your cat nose at us.
Don't go out to eat if you have kids.
That's a good idea.
Don't go on planes.
I don't understand that. If you have children, just don't do anything for like, I don't know what, 14, 15 years.
You become like a leper.
I just don't understand that. Like, I didn't make you have a kid. Why are you ruining my flight?
Why are you ruining my flight from 25 rows away? You don't seem to mind the crying. So we did not have a lot of success.
No, but we got, in all seriousness, the Licky Brush as a regular brush is really great because you can clean it, and I normally don't brush my cats because I'm allergic to cats.
You know, we should probably explain this. People will be able to go out and look for this for themselves, but the thing is, when you say the word brush, mm-hmm. you're imagining like a hairbrush or a cat brush. What should be mentioned about this that's very clever is it looks like it's like, I want to say like silicone.
Yeah.
It's like that rubbery mm-hmm. or silicone. How do you say it? It's that rubbery stuff. And it doesn't have little tiny bristles. It's got big kind of pyramidical nubbins. Mm-hmm. And the kind of the stickiness of it, like we get all kinds of hair off the cat when we use it. And she doesn't seem to mind it. But it's a well-made device.
Are you guys hip to the Furminator?
I think you made us buy one.
The Furminator?
Yeah.
The Furminator is an incredible piece of technology. I mean, you could...
It takes out a lot of hair.
I mean, you could really get a whole second cat. With the Furminator.
Oh, yeah. Mel does this to our other cat.
You got to Furminate. You got to get in there and Furminate.
Oh. Oh, I'm just looking at pictures of dogs that look like they've been mauled. Because there's so much hair. Oh, my. Oh, wow. This is very impressive. All right. So I'm going to say that you guys were pretty, you know, I'm impressed at how much you tried. To do this challenge.
I was just hanging out with my cat. It wasn't that much of a challenge,
yeah.
Really.
Well, you also have like this, your cat is almost like decoration for your house in the best way. Like when I whenever
no, sure. I got her because she won't go to my furniture.
Yeah, and
oh, that's good. That's smart.
whenever Max like has a party and the cat comes in and sits by me for a belly rub, I always feel like I've won, and then I'm like, yep, now I don't have to talk to anybody because the cat needs to be pet. It's great.
I'm like that with waitresses.